So on Daf Samachay, Tanu Rabbanan, the Mishnah tells us about someone called, a group called the Baitusin at the end of the Mishnah. We're going to start the Gemara, but so we'll see who these Baitusin are. They're basically, you know, two outstanding, or in a negative sense, two outstanding students of Antignos Ish Socho. One of them was called Sadok and the other was called Baitus. So from each of these there was a whole deviationist movement called the Tzdukim or the Baitusim. And they denied Ktsira Sa'omer b'motzai Yontif. Yontif, we're talking about the first day of Pesach. So they denied that whole story. Right? And the Gemara is going to explain why. And Tanu Rabbanan, now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. This Braisa is quoted in Shas here in Menachos and elsewhere in Masechet Tainis. But what we have to know is that this Braisa comes from what's called Megillas Tainis, which is a very strange name, paradoxical name, because the Megillas Tainis indicates all those days, the 36 days that enumerated, where you're not allowed to fast. So it's really Megillas Lolisanos. Right. It's not the scroll of the fast days, but the scroll of the days on which you're not allowed to fast. In any event, Elin Yomin Delolis Anabahun, Umixason Delolis Limisbid Bahun. So on this list of days which were designated for an Iser Tainis, some of them also have an additional Iser of Hespid. Okay then, so on this list of days we have something called Reish Yarcha de Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So May Reish Yarcha de Nisan means from the beginning of Nisan Ad Tamne Day, until the 8th of Nisan. Now the Gemara is going to say that during this period of time, from the beginning of Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, there's no Tainis and there's no Hesped. Okay, and then Ad Sof Moada, until the end of Pesach. Now, why were these days designated in Megillas Tainis as days of an Iser Tainis? So the Braisa explains what happened over there. Isosiv Chaga Dishvue. Okay, now let's, if you can, underline, I don't mean that literally, but underline the word isosiv. Isosiv means liashev, so it sort of like settles down. You can imagine something that's sort of floating around, and finally it settles in its place. Now what was floating around and what settled? That's the Chag of Shvue, the Chag of Shvuos. So in other words, as a result of the Baitusim, who refused to accept that we cut the Omer down on the 16th of Nisan, on Motzei Yontif, Shavuos, the date for Chag Shavuos was sort of floating around. It wasn't a specified day, because Chag Shavuos would be the 50th day of the counting of the Omer, but the Omer wasn't counted on Motzei Yontif. We'll have to figure out exactly when the Omer would start, according to the Baitusim. But whatever it was some sort of flexible or fluid day. It wasn't a fixed day. So at what point in time did Chag HaShavuos, as the 50th day of the Omer, become fixed, rightly Suve? That's only when the battle against the Baitusim, against the Tzukim, was won. You know, there's a victory in that battle. And therefore, the Lo Misbid Mireish Yachad Denisan Ad Tamni Bey Isoskim, fine. Shayat Stukim Omrim, the Tzdukim rejected this whole idea. Now, I just want to say a word before we go on about Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis, it's very interesting, was a scroll. It was not officially part of Shas or part of the Brises, but yet the Gemara quotes Megillas Tainis in a number of places, most famously here and in Masechta Tainis. Now, there are 36 days that are listed in Megillas Tainus. What's common to all 36 is that they were days of, shall we say, Nisim, of miracles or nitzchonos or victories of Torah. And in order to commemorate these days, the Megillas Tainus says that we have to
no tainus,
and we're not in certain cases no hespedim. But the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that this Megillah is batel. So the reason why a lot of these days fell into oblivion is because we no longer rely on Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was written during the period of Bayis Sheni, and once the Churban took place, that Megillah was no longer binding. However, there are minhagim even today that reflect what we find in Megillas Tainus. So, for example, we don't have necessarily an Issur Tainus on those days, but very often we'll omit Tachnun on those days. Now, the beginning of Nisan designates 8 days as days of victory, and they're incorporated in the list in Megillas Tainus, quoted, as I said before, in two Sugyos in Shas. And what was the great victory? The victory was over the Tzdukim. The Tzdukim were of the opinion that Mimachras HaShabbos Tisperu Chamishim Yom refers to Shabbos Bracious. Whereas the Prushim, who represented the Kabbalah of Chazal, the transmission of Torah Sheval Peh, they interpreted Mimachras HaShabbos as not referring to Shabbos Bracious, but rather to Pesach, the first day of Pesach. So Mimachras HaShabbos means beyond the first day of Pesach. Now, the obvious question that we'll have to address is, so why does the Torah use the word Shabbos according to the Prushim? According to the Tzdukim, they have really one up on us, because they're interested in Torah Shvichsav. And the word Shabbos all over the Torah means the seventh day of the week. It doesn't refer to Pesach. And therefore, the Tzdukim argued that Mimachas HaPesach, Mimachas HaShabbos, could not refer to Mimachas HaPesach. It's referring to Shabbos itself. And then at that point, they had to address the question, so which Shabbos is it?
But how could they say that? Because this Shabbos is used throughout the Torah, the Shabbos Shabboson, the Yellow Fed, and so forth.
Correct. We do find Shabbos Shabboson as a phrase for Moedim, but never the word Shabbos. If I'm not mistaken, you can do the word search and see if I'm right. The word Shabbos itself, not Shabbos Shabboson, refers exclusively to the seventh day of the week. So therefore, according to the Tzdukim, the beginning of the Omer period must coincide with Sunday. Which Sunday, I don't know. Again, that we have to sort of figure out. But at least we know that logically, the Tzdukim came to the conclusion that Mimachas HaShabbos means Sunday. Again, I use the word Sunday, but that's in our Western culture. As Sunday really comes from other sources. So we'll call it Yom Rishon. But if you follow what I mean, Yom Rishon is always going to be the day in which we start the Omer. The question is Yom Rishon of which week? And the reason why Chazal could not accept the position of Tzdukim is because in the position of Tzdukim, we don't know which week it is that kicks off, so to speak, begins the Sfira, because there's no fixed day. Mimachas HaShabbos is something that shifts. Whatever that Shabbos is, it's not something that's set. It's going to change from year to year as we go along. Hopefully this will become clear. Now, how long did this machlokas go on? I don't have any evidence, but what I sense is that this machlokas must have gone on for a long, long time, until finally the dust settled down and the Prushim were victorious. Now, when you say the Prushim were victorious, I don't believe for one moment, again, this is just Berzon talking, that the Tzdukim were Modal HaEmes. I don't think so. I think what probably happened was that at some point in time, the Prushim gathered together enough support for their position, because it all depends upon, you know, in the political system of Klal Yisrael, of the state of Israel, it all depended on who represented the majority. And for a long time, the Tzdukim had the majority on the Sanhedrin, and until finally, the Prushim took over the majority. So when they were only Laminyan, They voted in favor of the position of the Prushim, and at that point there was victory. Again, victory not in the sense they convinced any of the Tzdukim. The Tzdukim remained l'shitasa. Now, who were these Tzdukim? So it's very interesting. We identified Tzdukim as those who deny Torah Shebaal Peh. However, that's not really the original history of the word Tzadok. Tzadok, as a Talmud of Antignos Ishsocho, walked out of the Beis Medrash and he misunderstood his Rebbe. Right? Antignos Ishsocho was famous for saying in the Mishnah at Avos, Al Tiyu Kavodim Amishamshim Esrabam Al Manas L'Kavol Pras, El Shalom Manas L'Kavol Pras. And they understood that he was telling us not to serve God for the sake of reward because there is no reward. That's how they interpreted it. And they came to the conclusion that there's no such thing as Olam Haba, with death do us part, and that's it. Finito, and they denied one of the Ikrei Hadas. That apparently already created some sort of a tension between the Prushim and the Tzdukim, because they were denying Olam Haba. So the whole concept of Schar V'Onesh, which is so fundamental to our belief, it's one of the tenets of that faith, they denied it. I suspect that as a result, over the course of time, as they separated from the Prushim, they became more and more independent in their thinking until finally they rejected the whole Masorah of the Prushim. And they came to the conclusion that we can only interpret the Torah based on what's in the Torah. So what did they see in the Torah? So the first thing they saw in the Torah was Mimachas HaShabbos. So to their understanding, Mimachas HaShabbos means the day after Shabbos, the day after Shabbos Bereishis. Do we happen to have a Chumash here by any chance? Is this a Chumash? No, that's a Rambam. Alright, I'll get you a Chumash because I want to show you the Psukim inside and how the Tzdukim read those Psukim. That would be Kedai just to see this Gemara about Rabbi Tarfon. So the Parsha Sfiras HaOmer appears twice in the Torah. Once in Parsha's Emor, which guys like me haven't read yet. I get guys like you have already read that, right? So I'm going to miss Emor. I was trying to get together a minion in Ben Gurion Airport to read Parsha's Emor, but it just didn't go anywhere. And then in Parsha's Re'eh. So let's look in Parsha's Emor. So we're in Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel. So I'll just read to you the psukim, and you begin to get the flow of it. It says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimar." This is the parasha of Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, and it says the following. One second. "Daber bnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem ki savo el haaretz." Asher ani nosein lachem uktzartem es ktsira. Okay, so let's just put this parsha into a perspective. I mean, the introduction to the parsha is kisavo el aretz. Okay, the next part of the pasuk says uktzartem es ktsira. So what area of human behavior automatically comes? I mean, Katsir is one example of a broader area, if you will, of human behavior we're talking about here when you come into the land.
Farming.
Okay, I was going to say agriculture. Farming is just as good. So we're talking about farming. And we're talking specifically about the apex of a farmer's life. Right? He's already planted his seeds. He's already watered his seed. First he plows, then he plants. And finally culminates in Katsir. Later on, there's going to be another level, which is called Asifa, you know, when they gather it together. But we're not ready for that yet. We're ready for Ktsira. And then right after that, it says, Vavesem es Omer Reishis Ktsirchem. I mean, the whole emphasis here is on Ktsira, on harvesting. And then after we bring the Omer, there's something called Tnufasa Omer, Vehenefes Omer Lfnei Hashem. And it's all Mimachas HaShabbos. So how many times in this parasha is Pesach mentioned? Zero. Zippo. Again, unless you assume that the word Shabbos, and that's based on the Kabbalah, is referring not to Shabbos, but rather to Pesach. Then the Torah goes on to describe the details of this karbon, And then fast forwarding a little, it says, "Uspartem lachem mimachas haShabbos miyom aviyachem es omer atnufa." So mimachas haShabbos is the point in which we bring the omer, which is havas omer, and the tnufa is the hanofas omer. Sheva shabosos tmimos tiena. Now, as soon as you see the term shabosos tmimos, what does that mean? When I say to you, a complete week. But when is a week a complete entity? What do you start with? What do you end with? Yeah, you start with Yom Rishon and you end with Shabbos. So again, you could begin to see how the Tzdukim understood this. You know, you want to get 7 perfect weeks. So in order to get 7 perfect weeks, you start with Sunday, you end with the last Saturday of the 7th unit, the 7th week, and then the next day it says, which is called Yom Chamishim, then Tisru Chamishim Yom V'kravtem Mincha Chadosh L'Hashem. That's the Shtei Alechem of Chag HaShavuos. So it's really interesting that the Tzdukim understood that Mimachar HaShabbos means the first day of a week. And now the Torah says to count 7 complete weeks, and then the 50th day after the 7 times 7 is going to be the day of Shavuos when we bring the Mincha Chadosha, which is going to be the Shtei Alechem. So we start with the Omer, which is on a Sunday. We count 7 weeks, full natural weeks, and then we get to the 50th day, and that's going to be the day of Shavuos. No mention here of Chag HaPesach whatsoever. It's all about Ketzirah Sa'omer. Now, the Parshas Sfir Sa'omer appears a second time, this time in Parshas Re'eh. Let's see if I can find that. It's in Perek Tesvav. No, Perek Tezayin. Listen to the Torah here. Shiva Shavuos Tisfar Lach. Again, 7 weeks. So you need 7 complete weeks. You're going to start your counting on what?
Sunday.
On a Sunday. You got to count on a Sunday. This week, I think, this year, I think that's how. When was the first day of Pesach?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Oh, so this week, the Prushim and the Tzuka are on the same team. But it happens to work out that way. Now, listen. When do you start counting? So you tell me you start counting on a Sunday. But which Sunday is it? So it says, Mehachel. Hechel means Tchila, you know, the kickoff, the beginning. Of Chermesh. Chermesh is the sickle. Bakoma. Koma means the stalks that are growing in the ground. And then, from that Sunday, which is the first day of the week after the Ketzirah begins, is then Tachel Lispar Shiva Shavuos. Once again, counting 7 complete weeks. How many times does Pesach appear in this parasha? Again, 0. So twice in the Torah, we have the mitzvah counting the Omer, and in neither of these two cases does the Torah say any whisper a word about Pesach. Now, from the fact that again, the Sfiras HaOmer is kicked off Me'achel Chamesh Bakoma, we're talking about an agricultural celebration. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I might have said, well, let's celebrate plowing the ground, celebrate seeding the ground, or watering the ground. The answer is that's not enough room for celebration. Obviously, the farmers are not excited about the fact that they've planted the ground. They want to get excited about the harvest. So from the first Sunday after the beginning of the harvest, that's when we count Sfira Sa'om. So again, the Prushim are going to have a problem here because they can't accept the Tzdukim, not only because of the Kabbalah Ishmi Piyish. Let's leave that out. Just in the halachic structure, you know, we have 3 Moedim. Each Moed has to have a time, you know, somewhere on the calendar. So when is the date on the calendar? Well, according to Tzdukim, it really depends on the Ketzira. Because we're celebrating the Ketzirah, and the first Sunday after the beginning of the Ketzirah, we're going to bring the Omer and count the Omer. Well, you can't tell me on any particular year exactly when the harvest is going to begin. It probably is a function of rain, how much rain fell, or you know, other possible, you know, we'll call it agricultural factors. I'm not the expert on that, but it would shift from year to year. And that's not a fixed date. Chazal were looking for a fixed date for Chag HaShavuos. So if you give me a fixed date for the beginning of the Sefiras HaOmer, if you can tell me on the calendar what that calendar date is, then I can count 7 weeks, and then I know exactly when Chag HaShavuos is. But according to the Tzedukim, I can never tell you in advance exactly when Chag HaShavuos is going to be, because it all depends on Heichel Chermesh Bakatzir. So Bli Neder will see Rabbi Tarfon inside in the Gemara Menachos, and he's going to try to explain this. Now, Rabosa, I just want to tell you one thing, and don't get angry at me. Okay, I'm not here today to become a tzduki or to make anybody a tzduki. Okay, is that clear? But lechora, the tzdukim are right. I'll tell you why. Because even according to the Prushim, there's no fixed date for Chag HaShavuos. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Chag HaShavuos could be in three possible different dates. Lefa'amim behei, b'nei b'sivan, lefa'amim b'vav, lefa'amim b'zayin. You know, it all depends upon how many days was the previous 2 months. You know, which one was chaser, which one was mole. So the three different possible candidate dates for Chag HaShavuos. I'll tell you something else. I have another problem with the Prushim. I don't understand the whole entity of Yontif Shein Shel Golius with regard to Shavuos. Mm-hmm. You know, the Gemara says that the Shluchim didn't go out there, so they didn't know exactly when, you know, when the previous month was Mole or Choser. You know, that makes sense in the case of Sukkot and Pesach. I don't know how to work that out in the case of Shavuos. Shavuos, by definition, according to the Prushim, is the 50th day after Tesvav B'Nisan. I mean, Tesayim B'Nisan is the first day of the, and then we count 49, and the next day is Shavuos. So what are you going to tell me? The Shluchim, it took the Shluchim 5 weeks to get the word out? I mean, it's more than 5 weeks. The whole entity of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golus with regard to Shavuot, you know, the conservatives did away with the Yom Tov Sheni, for those who know. There are other people who want to do it. I don't want to get into the politics of it. But if there's any holiday for which Yom Tov Sheni really has to be understood, it's got to be Chag HaShavuos. You see, according to the Tzedukim, I don't know if they're even aware of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golus, if they knew about that entity. But even if they knew about the entity, then Shavuos really depends upon the agriculture. So it's not so set. Again, you could say that we know when it's set, even according to the Tzedukim. Well, I would ask you this. So here's the rub. When is Chag HaShavuos? The 50th day after the Hechel Charmesh Bakatzir, or as we saw the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Ki Tovol Aratzu Ktzartem Esakatzir. So when do you start the Katzir? So we said it shifts from year to year. But what boggles my mind is, according to Tzedukim, what happens if you decide to harvest your field on one particular day, and I decide to harvest my field on another day? So apparently, talking of God all, but we don't have to answer kashas on the Tzduka, but if we had to answer this kasha, I would say it's a consensus. There has to be some sort of overall consensus. When is the best time in Eretz Yisrael to begin the harvest? So they pinpoint a day, and they want to celebrate that harvest. So the Torah says, celebrate that harvest by bringing the korban ha'omer, b'reishis k'tzirchem, and that's a celebration which will culminate on Shavuos 50 days later, when we culminate, when we celebrate the Chag HaAsif, you know, when we gather in the crops, and now we could market them, and that's the end of the celebration 7 weeks later. Now, I don't know one thing, if anyone could help me with this, why in the world would it take 7 weeks from the beginning of the Katsira till the end of the Katsira? I mean, is Katsira so complicated?
Different crops.
You know, it's already the ending of a Chita. So possibly when, maybe with the celebration of Chag HaBikurim, which the Bikurim is brought from any of the five species, maybe we need all five species, you know, and that culmination takes 50 days. Maybe certain crops will, you know, you could harvest and package them into what's called a kree. How do you call it in English? Like a bale, I don't know what you call it. And others, you know, would take a little bit longer. But finally, after 50 days, we finish this whole process, everything's baled, everything is ready to be shipped out to market, and we're going to get wealthy on this, and then it's a day for celebration. So, let's just summarize. According to the Tzedukim, there is no fixed date for the beginning of accounting of the Omer. It all depends on Me'echel Charvesh B'Katzir, which means the beginning B'Koma, which means the Gereshis K'tzir Chem. And the K'tzir would be in 1 year on one day, on another day on the other day, but it would be the first Sunday after the K'tzir. And the first Sunday after the beginning of the K'tzir, the K'tzirah, would kick off a week, and now we have 7 days that start on a Sunday and on a Saturday, so we have a complete week, and we multiply that by seven, and we have Sheva Shabbosos Tmimus Tiyeh. On a textual level, we have three support texts for the Tzedukim. The first right for the Tzedukim is that it says Mimokras HaShabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos Bracious in Kol HaTorah Kulo. The second raya is from the fact that the Torah completes any mention or omits any mention of Chag HaPesach, neither here in Parshas Re'eh nor back in Parshas Emor. No mention whatsoever of Chag HaPesach. So the linkage to Chag HaPesach is purely Darsh Bal Peh of the Prushim. And the third raya to the Tzedukim is from the fact that the Torah repeats itself over and over again that this is the holiday of Ketzirah. So you have Reisha, you have Mimachas HaShabbos, which indicates Sunday, and not Tezvav Tezayin B'Nisan. We have the fact that it's Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiena, that they're Shabbosos Tmimos, complete Shabbosos. And finally, the fact that it seems to be clear in both parshas, it's an agricultural holiday that has nothing to do with Pesach whatsoever. So let's take a look for a moment here, if you can, maybe I'll put it here if anybody wants to see it. I'll put it over here for a moment. So the Gemara says the following. Nitfal lehem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This will be on Daf Sabachem and Aleph, approximately six lines up from the bottom. You have it?
Yeah.
Let's even start before that. And it says the following. It says, by Tusim Omer Matzeres Achar Hashah. Shoyu by Tusim Omer Matzeres Achar HaShabbos. Which means that what we have to do is we have to start counting after Shabbos Bereishis. Now, remind me later, I want to talk to you about the word Atzeres, because I think the word Atzeres in Chazal has a very specific meaning. Nitfal Lahem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Nitfal, I think, means he contested against them. There was sort of like a public debate. The Amar Lahem Shotim. Now, the word Shotim is a very harsh language. And I'm going to ask you if the Tzedukim are really Shotim. In my humble opinion, they're not Shotim at all. On the contrary, they have three very solid arguments for their position. Minayim Lachem. How do you know that your Shita is correct? I guess, again, this is at a critical point in Jewish history as far as Sfiras HaOmer is concerned, when the people, when the Prusha began to take over the majority, and they were sort of in control, so nobody had the guts to get up and contest against Rabbi Yochanan and present the Shita, the Baitusim and the Tzedukim. Chutz mizokin echa. Some altered stuki. So in the fact that Kinegdo, he was sort of mumbling. I guess he even though he was a zaken, he was one of the chachamim of the stuki. He himself felt a little bit inhibited to stand up against Rabbi Yochanan ben Zak. V'yomar, and he made the following argument: Moshe Rabbeinu oev Yisrael hoya. V'yodeh Atzeres Yom Echad Hu Omad V'tikna Achar Shabbos Kedei Sheyisrael Mis'angim Shnei Yomim. Very interesting. He said the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that we were sort of getting gypped a little bit, because Shavuos has only one day, so he wanted to make sure that we'd be able to celebrate 2 days. It's like this year in Chutz La'aretz, they had 2 days of Yontif, and here in Eretz Yisrael they also had 2 days. Why? Because the eighth day, which is in Chutz La'aretz, was Shabbos here. Okay.
Obviously they didn't know from Yontif Sheni Shal Shabbos.
Correct. So if you leave out Yontif Sheni Shal Golios, then what you have is, because again, we're going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is way before the institution of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, you have a holiday that has only one day. One day. So Sukkot, for example, has 7 days, and Pesach has 7 days. Again, not all the days are Yontif, but at least all the days have a mitzvah of honing. Some want to bring a riot from here that even on Chol Hamoed is honing Yontif. But in the case of Shavuos, there's no Chol Hamoed, so all you're left with is one day. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to expand it. Why? Because he's an Oev Yisrael.
That contradicts a different Gemara, but which Stukim may not care about, was that Moshe Rabbeinu added Yom Echad Yishaloh and pushed Shavuos to fall on Shabbos. If you didn't add Yom Echad, you'd have to.
I'd have to see that Sugya. Yechiel. You want to show it to me inside, maybe we'll integrate it into the Shia. I have to learn that Sugya. So Amad V'tikna Achar Shabbos. So by counting the 7 weeks of the Omer on a Sunday, he would guarantee that the 50th day would be on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So you'd have, therefore, 2 days of Yont, so to speak, or 2 days of Onik. Now, what's very odd about the Hemshek HaSugya is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai challenges the very premise of the Tzdukim that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oev Yisrael. This is really interesting. Karol of Mikra Zeh. Achadas or Yomei Chorev Derech Har Seir. So how long would it have taken to go directly from Har Chorev to Eretz Yisrael? It's an 11-day trek. V'im, here we turn to the Samachim, V'im Moshe Rabbeinu Oev Yisrael Hayah. What kind of Oev Yisrael is? Lama Ichra B'midbar Boim Shana. Again, the Torah itself addresses that question. But I guess this is his way of being Docha B'kash and telling him that don't tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make his own takana to guarantee that Chag HaShavuos would be a two-day deal. Because after all, why did Moshe Rabbeinu schlep us around for 40? Oh yeah, take a look at Rashi. Rashi 3 lines from the top says, "Dichui bi'alma karmel." Yo, Rashi's very nervous here. He doesn't want you to come to a mistaken impression that Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan questioned the premise that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oev Yisrael. So he says, "Dichui bi'alma karmel mishum dehu aya omer divrei hevel." Oh. So now, what do you mean divrei hevel? Omolo, Rebbe, the kacha to potreni. I mean, you know, you're calling me a shoiter, and you're rejecting my argument based on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took us for 40 years in the Midbar. Come on, that's not, you're not really arguing against me. Omolo, again, this is more of a hyperbole of sorts. It says, shoiter lo tehe Torah shlema shalanu kesicha b'teila shalachem. Okay, so at this point, he's going to try to argue against them. Rashi has a whole discussion here about these words, Torah Shlema Shalonu Kisicha V'Teilu Shalachem. We'll just read it quickly. Lidchos Adam Bekane Uvekash Kisicha V'Teilu Shalachem Delonu Yesh Raya Ulachem Ein Raya. Which is really interesting when he says to them, you don't have a Raya, when I think, in my humble opinion, they had 3 Gevaldig Raya's. But in any event, yours is like a Sicha B'Teila, and therefore, we have a Torah Shlema, we can certainly, you know, blow away your Sicha B'Teila. How so? So now what we're going to see, presumably, is the counter argument against the Tzdukim.
Against
No, I mean the Prushim's argument against the Tzduki, because keep in mind, this old Alta Tzduki is now, he's now pushing Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai against the wall, and he's saying, well, you can't tell me what ours is a Sicha B'Teila. You must have some argument. So what is your argument? So he says the following. Listen to this. This next Gemara is a pell in my eyes. Again, if you can help me with this. He says, Kosev Echad Omer Tisperu Chamishim Yom. If I'm not mistaken, that's in Sefer Dvarim. Does he tell you where it is here in the Torah? Or Tisbru Chamishim Yom. Oh, that's in Emor. Okay, fine. V'kosev Echad Omer, also in Emor. It says Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiyena. Ah, this is interesting. See, at this point, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is kind of modal emes. You know, there's a sort of hodas baldid, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is modal that Sheva Shabbos is tmimos means exactly what the Tzedukim said it means. It has to be 7 complete weeks. But yet it says Tisru Chavishim Yom. Now, L'shitasam, the Prushim held that Tisru Chavishim Yom would begin on the 16th of Nisan. That doesn't guarantee you Sheva Shabbos is tmimos. Because if the 16th of Nisan coincides with any day from Sunday to Friday, then it won't be Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, which means from Sunday to Saturday. Haketzad, and this Haketzad is Hodas Valdin, meaning he himself is pressed against the wall. I have to somehow reconcile this. In other words, I can get away with Tisru Chavishim Yom and say that Tisru Chavishim Yom means we're going to count 50 days from Mimachras HaPesach, which means that from the 16th of Nisan and on, but how can I explain Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos to you? HaKeitzad can be Yontif Shechalios B'Shabbos, can be Yontif Shechalios B'Emtza Shabbos. Rav Moshe, do you understand what's going on here? This is mind-boggling. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is agreeing to the Tzedukim. And he's saying that the only time that the Prushim would be right in the Parsha is only in a case where Yontif is Chal on Shabbos. So if Yontif is Chal on Shabbos, then Eochidami, Machas HaShabbos is a Sunday, and then we have Shabbos Shabbos Tmimos Tiena. But if Yontif coincides with any other day of the week, then we don't have Shabbos Shabbos Tmimos Tiena. So the entire parasha of Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, according to the Hodas Bal Din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, would only apply in Azai HaChetimtza, where the first day of Pesach fell on Shabbos. But if any of the other 6 possibilities would occur, then El Chidami, it's not Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, it's just Tisru Chavishim Yom. So basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there are 2 different parashas of Sfiras Omer. One parasha Sfiras Omer is Sheva Shabbos is Tmimos Tiena, and that applies when it's Yontif Shechalios B'Shabbos. And then there's a parasha called Sheva. There's a parasha called Tisru Chavishim Yom, and that applies regardless of which day Yontif falls out.
And that's exactly the proof that they're not wrong. That the Prushim were not wrong, because why would I need a second pasuk for it? If it's
no, what I'm saying is, Alan, if you're going to tell me that when I read a parsha in the Torah of Sfiras Omer, again, there's only one mitzvah of Sfiras Omer.
Correct.
And that mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, according to the Prushim, applies the day after Pesach. Right. But now I'm going to take the parsha, I'm going to tell you that part of the parsha addresses one scenario, one Hechentim, and another part of approaches the other. So when it says Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hodas Bal Din, it only applies in a case with Shabbat where Yontif falls on Shabbos. I mean, are you happy with that?
You know, yes.
It's a Kabbalah. I can't reject the Kabbalah. I don't want you to walk out of here and say that I'm not be cursed. You know what I'm saying? But it's really Dacha Gomer. No, if I tell you that when it says Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, which we know is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, that only applies in a case where Pesach falls on Shabbos. That's a little bit of a doch. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're happy with that. I'm not.
No, but you're saying that if you only had that pasuk, then you'd have to agree with it. With it,
right? Right. But of course, there's another pasuk. It's from Yom that expands it. And it, but again, if you're reading the pasuk Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, he says Kan. What's the language again? Kan biyontiv shechalios b'Shabbos. And the Ramban al HaTorah, I think, points this out, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen it in a while, but maybe we'll look it up. The Ramban al HaTorah is saying that when it says Sheva Shabbos is Tmimos Tiena 7 complete weeks means that Yontif fell on Shabbos. And that's the Taich in the Pasuk. Now, it's a little bit of a tzarach even that the Torah would use such confusing language, ambiguously telling me we should count 7 weeks because Yontif fell on Shabbos. Okay. Now I want to get back to the word itosif, because I told you that I thought that was an important word in the Gemara Daf Samach Hayamanal. Itosif. So itosif is like you remember the Mishnah in Shabbos about what's it called, Mesates. You know, when they had a stone, a very heavy stone, and they wanted to send it into the ground, they would move it back and forth until finally it was. It was firmly established. So I think with the word isosif here might mean that Shavuos now gets settled down. Why? Because in the perspective of Litzdukim, Shavuos is not really a settled day. We have to wait until Ktzira. Ktzira is depending on each year on the consensus of the farmers, when the Ktzira is fine. And then we wait till the Sunday after the beginning of the Ktzira, and that's going to shift from year to year. So Shavuos, which is 50 days later, will change from year to year. We never have a set calendar day, it's not fixed. But Itosiv means that now it's fixed. Again, as I told you before, I'm not so happy about that, because I'm not sure that really it is etosiv, you know, that it's really set, because the Gemara itself says it can fall on any one of three possible calendar dates.
Why would the Tzedukim need Maharas and Maharas and Shabbos? They don't need that pasuk altogether. Because when it says Sheva Shabbosos Tmilos Tiyena, that would automatically force it to be starting on Sunday.
Okay, maybe you could say the following, that sometimes the Torah uses two different languages in order to make sure it's crystal clear. So when the Torah wants to tell you for sure that Sefira always begins on a Sunday, it tells it to you in two different ways. Number one, it tells you that you need 7 complete weeks. And number two, it's got to be Mimochas HaShabbos. But basically those two are the same. Now one thing I find interesting here is that if this battle between the Prushim and the Tzukim raged over centuries, and finally they you know, the Prushim emerged victorious, so that we have today a Sefiras HaOmer the way the Prushim have it, that's a cause for celebration. To such an extent that for a period of time, there's not going to be Hespe, there's not going to be Tainus, and that's codified in Megillus Tainus. Why? Because of the great victory over the Tzukim, and that's going to give us, number one, the Mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer, Mimochas HaShabbos, and number two, that's going to also give us Chag HaShavuos on a quote-unquote set calendar date, if you follow what I mean. So that's success here of the Prushim over the Tzedukim, and that hence we're going to count the Omer every single year, no matter when the first day of Pesach falls, from Tesvav, Tesnayim B'Nisan, and that's basically the day of Ktzirus Omer, and Trufas Omer, Avos Omer, and the beginning of Sefiras Omer. Now, what I have in front of me, which I wanted to share with you, is a comment here of Rav Soloveitchik, which is quoted by a fellow. I'm trying to remember his name. It'll come to me in just a second. Are you familiar with something called Noros HaRav? Schreiber, oh, that's his name, Schreiber. Anyway, you know, there are many people who anthologize the Rav's Torah, and they give you, they try to transcribe the Rav's Torah. And one of them is a fellow by the name of Schreiber. I think he's a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken, and he publishes something called Noros HaRav. Okay. So in the Noros HaRav, he says, in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that the reason why this battle was so memorable is not only because of the halach of when we start counting the Omer and when we're going to commemorate the Chag HaShavuos, but on a much more profound level, again according to this transmission, it tells us something about Chag HaPesach itself and the nature of Chag HaPesach. Or let me get even more specific, the relationship between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos. So now that Sefiras HaOmer becomes the bridge between Pesach and Shavuos, which is not so according to whom? According to Tzedukim. The Tzedukim don't have such a bridge. Why? Because Mimochas HaShabbos, according to Tzedukim, has nothing to do with Pesach. It has to do with the first Shabbos after the Ktzira begins. So if you want, you can connect Chag HaShavuos to the Ktzira, Mehechel Charmesh BaKatzir, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with Chag HaPesach. Hence, according to the Tzedukim, there is no bridge here connecting Chag HaPesach to Chag HaShavuos. And according to, again, this quote in the name of the Rav thought that the success and the victory over the Prush, over the Tzedukim was so memorable that it deserved in Megillus Titus, the Issa Titus, and the Iser Hesped is because of philosophical reasons, not so much halachic reasons. Again, we pointed out that halachically, this is a major success. It gives us hence the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer and the mitzvah of Chag HaShavuos in its time. That's a great success. Where Rav Soloveitchik was interested more in a hashkafic victory over the tzdukim connecting Chag HaPesach with Chag HaShavuos. So I'm going to read to you a little bit of what he says in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, and this is all based on what's called the Dalid Lashonos of Geula, right? The last of which is Vilakachti. I mean, Hashem accepts us as His nation. Now, it says Mimachas HaShabbos. According to the Prushim, Shabbos is referring to what? To Chag HaPesach. What took place on the 15th of Nisan? Yitzias Mitzrayim, correct?
Right.
Now Yitzias Mitzrayim we call the Geula, or the Chag Cheruseinu, right? Zman Cheruseinu. So the Rav wants to claim, what is Geula? How do we define it? If you define it in and of itself, then Pesach is a holiday in and of itself. And it stands on its own 2 feet. There's no need to connect it to another holiday. There's no need to bridge it with the counting of the Omer. So the Rav quotes, according to, again, this transmission, a Sefer HaChinuch. Let me just give you a minute, and I'll try to find it. Are you familiar with the Sefer HaChinuch? The Sefer HaChinuch basically compares Sfiras HaOmer to Chol HaMoed. That the Chol HaMoed of Chag HaPesach is the Sfiras HaOmer, culminating in the Yontif of Shavuos. So I'll read to you the language, first of all, the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says the following. Do you want to find it? If you want to find it, Yechiel, it's Mitzvah Shin Vav. He says, Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, Lispar Teisha V'Yarboim Yom Yom Avas HaOmer, Shu Yom Shish Asar Ben Nisan. Okay, so he passes like the Prushit. That's not a Chiddush. Shenemar usfartem lochem imochas haShabbos. Oh, then he goes on to say Aminyan Hichova. Then he goes on to discuss whether he count weeks and days, both of them. And then he says the fine Mishar She'am Mitzvah. Right, the Sefer HaChinuch is always famous for Shar She'am Mitzvah, which borders on what we call Tamei HaMitzvahs. And he says the fine. What's the root of this mitzvah? Al Tzad HaPshat. Yeah, he gives himself an accolade. He said, what I'm going to tell you is outside of Pshat. You don't have a possibility of disagreeing with me. Again, I would add a footnote here. The Tzdukim would say that that's not Pshat, because Mimachas HaShabbos means Mimachas HaShabbos Breishis. Lefisha kol ikron shal Yisrael, the Loshon HaChinuch, eino ela haTorah. So what does it mean? Chag HaPesach is Man Cheruseinu, it's liberation. So you can liberate any people from slavery on the face of the earth. I was down in Richmond, Virginia. They're still talking about the Confederates over there in Virginia. You know, they fought a civil war over slavery. So there's a boulevard in Richmond, which is called Monument Boulevard. It has monuments for Confederate soldiers, not soldiers, I mean the leaders of the Confederates. And many people, including the blacks, but not just the blacks, they want to get rid of all these monuments, you know. Lee, you know, he was the head of the Confederates. This is gigantic. I have to, you know, my host took me for a little teal up and down this monumental street. Says the Chinuch name. That's not what Pesach is all about. Pesach is not a liberation. It's not a political freedom from slavery. She'ein ikron shel Yisrael ela laTorah. V'hi ikar v'hasibo shenigalu mimitzrayim. K'dei sheyikavlu laTorah bar Sinai. And he quotes the pasuk at the beginning of Shmos at the Ma'is HaSneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe. What does he say to him? So the ultimate goal of Pesach of Yitzis Mitzrayim is what? Kabbalas HaTorah. Upirish HaPosuk. So now we begin to understand why the Posuk uses the term Mimachas HaShabbos. Klomar Hotziacha Osam Mitzrayim. Kedeshet to Kabbalah Torah. Again, I'm summarizing here. Vehi ikar hagadol shel zehim nigolim v'tachlis hatova shalahem. So the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to be at the time of Har Sinai when they makabel the Torah. The Rav is still perplexed even after the Sefer Chinuch. So why did the Torah have to say Mimachas HaShabbos? Why Shabbos? You could have just said Mimachas HaPesach. We could have understood in a much more obvious way exactly what this is all about. But in any event, just to finish up the Sefer Chinuch, he says Mibneichen, because of this reason, Kachi Ikrat Shal Dvar Shal Yisrael is Bavura Nigalu V'Yol L'Kach L'Gdula V'Nitztavu L'Manos Limnos Mimachas Yontiv Shal Pesach, which is the Chag HaGeula, right? But what is Geula? Ad Yom Nesinas HaTorah Laharos L'Nafshenu HaChefetz HaGodol Shal Hayom HaNichsaf V'HaNichbad L'Libein. Are you all familiar with this? I mean, this is like, you know, I remember this from my childhood. That the Sefer HaChinuch holds that we have to connect Pesach to Shavuos, because the ultimate goal and the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Satorah.
How would the Chinuch explain it's a goal as a lot of Satorah Dayen?
Oh, okay, that's a good kasha. But we have to know B'chlau what the word Dayenu means. Yeah. What does it mean, it's enough? How can you say it's enough? I mean, Hashem takes us out of, He brings us to our Sinai, V'lonos Allah Satorah. Every single Dayenu has to be understood. But in any event, so Rav Soloveitchik says that the reason why the Prushim fought this battle, and when they were victorious, emerging successful, they commemorated this day in Megillas Titus as a day of Simcha, a whole period of time, is because of this very idea, that the Prushim wanted to connect Pesach and Geula and Yetzias Mitzrayim with Chag HaShavuos. And they could only do so by using Mimachas HaShavuos as a reference to Pesach. We still don't know why it's called Shavuos. And that's the fulfillment of the fourth of the four Lashonis of Geula, Ulakachti V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am V'yisi Lachem Lelokim. So what does Lelokim mean? In Pashpas in English. Master. I will be your master. Whenever it says Elokim, it means I am your master. So it means Kabbalah Sol Mach Shemayim. So how can we be Kabbalah Sol Mach Shemayim? Hashem says, you know, saves us as from slavery. But what do we do now? I mean, we don't have anything to, you know, to fulfill. Where are the commands to obey? And the answer is that's going to be Kabbalah Sol Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that this reveals the secret of a very enigmatic statement in the Gemara, in Psachim and in Beitza, that there's, you know, there's machlokas about Yontif, where the Yontif can be celebrated by Kulal Hashem. So Rav Lesh says, so either mikzah, you have two options. You can either have, you know, half Lashem, half Lachem, or you could have Kulal Hashem is also an option. Says the Gemara that when it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees. You remember this? Oh, Rav Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Echad, Gochanan, and then it says that I call Modim Be'atzeres Divi'ino Nami Lochem. My Taima Yom Shenitna Bo Torahu. I mean, Torah is, you know, who wanted the Torah and steal it from us? The Malach Yashoreh. So Torah belongs to spiritual worlds. I mean, Torah is not about eating and drinking.
Why is it obvious?
Why is it obvious that since the day of the cross of Torah, therefore, HaKol Modim, we have to have Chetzi Lachem. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that the reason for that is because the whole celebration of Pesach is really suspended in midair. You know, we don't clinch it until we get to the end of the Omer and Chag HaShavuos. So the Yom Shenitna Batorah really is l'mafreya, a celebration for Yetzias Mitzrayim, for the completion of the Geula. He says we're actually celebrating our liberation from slavery. That's what Kabbalah Satorah is all about. Because if not for Matan Torah, we'd still be enslaved, because there was no purpose in liberating the slaves. The Rebbeinu Shalom's purpose in releasing us from bondage was to give us the Torah. So Shavuos is therefore the ultimate celebration of that which we commemorate on Pesach, and therefore we should rejoice over our very physical release from slavery. So when we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim on Shavuos, That really is the essence of what Chag HaShavuos is about. It's the real Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. So we cannot celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim in its full sense until we justify, you know, we justify our release from slavery. And when is our release from slavery justified? That's when we accept the Torah at Har Sinai. That's when our Geula becomes a complete Geula. Therefore, Shavuos is linked back to the freedom from slavery, and therefore we should celebrate our freedom through food and drink.
Even though Pesach could be called Hashem.
Right. That's really because Pesach is only a partial holiday. You know, if Pesach was a complete holiday, it would definitely require Chetzi Lachem. Then he says something else. He says, take a look at the Psukim in Matan Torah. Here we want to open up, if you can, Yosef, if you don't mind, Shmos Perik Yutes Pasuk Dalet, and it says the five. These are the introductory Psukim to Matan Torah. It says, Atem Re'isim Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim. And then it goes on to say, V'es Oschem Al Kafi Nisharim, V'Avi Eschem Eilai, Oschem Eilai. And it goes on to speak about attempt to Yuli Mamlechas Kohen Go Kodesh. All this is in the light of the introduction of Mitzrayim. Why does it start with Mitzrayim? And the answer is to emphasize that the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to receive the Torah. Oh. So therefore he says we can understand why Mimachar Sashavos has to be referring to Pesach. Again, we don't know why the Torah deliberately confused us, that we still have to get to, but we begin to understand why Chazal were forced, so to speak, to interpret that Mimachas HaShabbos has to refer to Pesach, because otherwise we don't have this the main purpose and the main essence of what Yitzhak, of what Chag HaShavuos is all about. It's only if you say that Mimachas HaPesach refers to, I'm saying Mimachas HaShabbos refers to Mimachas HaPesach, then you can begin to understand what Chag HaShavuos is all about. It's Mimachas HaShabbos, Mimachas HaPesach. So now the Rav wants to understand, why does the Torah use the word Shabbos? Why, I'll read to you his language, he says, why couldn't the Torah avert this divisive, is that how you spell it? Yeah. Divisive controversy by designating the date of Hakrovas HaOmer as Mimachas Chag HaPesach, or simply Mimachas HaChag. That would have avoided the whole machlokas between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. So it seems that the Ribbono Shel Olam deliberately employed this ambiguous term Shabbos. Why is that so? So he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Omar Rabbi Yossi, do you remember this Gemara? Yehechelki migomrei hal b'chol yom. For my part, we should be reciting the full hal on a daily basis. So Gemara says, Eini, how could that be? V'omar mar hakorei hal b'chol yom, areizim acharef u'magadef. Ki amrina, the Gemara reinterprets Rabbi Yossi, b'psuket izimra. So p'suket izimra, daily basis, go ahead. But Hallel, for sure not. So Rashi gives a very technical explanation here why we cannot recite Hallel on a daily basis. He says, Arezem Achari from Agadev, Sheneviim Rishonim Tiknu, Lomar, Biprokim. Biprokim means on certain occasions, L'shevach V'odoya. So in other words, in a sense, he's undermining the Neviim HaRishonim because he's taking the Hallel and he's reciting it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a little bit chosetam over here. So Rav Soloveitchik says the following, that Psukim HaZimra is a form of Hallel that's recited daily. However, the Hallel that the Neviim instituted has to be recited only on certain occasions, but not daily. Okay, fine. So what is the difference between Psukei Dezimra and Hallel? One is daily and the other is only on special occasions. So he says the following. There are two types of Nisim, two types of miracles. Hallel, as we know it, sometimes it's called Halal Mitzri, is a praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam for Nisim V'Niflaos. Again, I would add the word Gluyim here, and Lefi Ani Staita. He calls it the supernatural disruption of the natural order. Now, these are obvious miracles. He says that on, for example, on the occasions of Yitzis Mitzrayim, it was easy to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was obvious. There was Kriyas Yamsuf, Zekei Lev Yaveo, right? Minayin Shivcha, Shivcha Al Yam, the whole 9 yards. So we know, clearly, God is revealing Himself by abrogating the laws of nature. If anyone wants to photocopy this, we'll do it later. It's just a very, very long piece. I'm just trying to summarize some of the main parts. He says that Psukim Zimra, on the other hand, is a commemoration of the daily miracles in nature, what we call Nes Nistar. Again, I'm just embellishing it in my language. You can read it here if you like in the original. He says, HaKori Asahal B'chol Yom HaRezim HaCharif U'Megadef. It's considered blasphemous to convey the impression that one can perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam only through miracles, supernatural miracles. In other words, if you say how on a daily basis, you're saying, how do I want to perceive God and divinity? It's basically because of miracles. That's the nature of the Takkan of Hal. And if you say it every day, you're telling me that that's the way we perceive God, through miracles. On the other hand, one should recite Psukim Zimra daily, because these psukim emphasize God's revelation to us through natural law, through the daily sunrise and sunset, through the sustenance that He provides daily for all creatures. I guess He has in mind Poseches Yadecha, maybe. Now He offers here a list of psukim that we recite in Psukim Zimra. Somech Hashem l'chol anoflim, Eini Hashem this, Poseches Yadecha, Osei Shamayim v'aretz, Esayom v'eskol asher bam, Mona mispar l'kol chavim, L'chulim shemis yikra, Haluhu shemesh v'yareach, Halu kol chofei or. What's common, the lowest common denominator of all these psukim, is that we're thanking Hashem for His revelation through the nature itself, through the natural law. So, for example, I remember my mother, she used to, we used to go to Florida during the winter because my father was not well, and she would wake me up early in the morning to see the sunrise over the sea. I'll never forget it to this day. I mean, if one perceives God in that sunrise, that's Psukim Zimra. Or, if you go back in time, we used to go to camp in the summertime, and there were a lot of bugs. If you turn on a light at night, you see how the bugs, they gravitate and they go around and around and around. That's nature. You go out and you see the stars in the heavens. And you perceive it. That's what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei B'chol Drachecha Da'eyu. Wherever you go, whenever you turn, you can find God. You pick up your arm. And again, if you're a scientist. I don't know, have you ever heard of Rabbi Victor Miller? So he has, one of his books is called Rejoice, O Youth. He has, Mitch, you would probably rewrite the section as a scientist, but he has a section 5 pages long on the human eye. And it's mind-boggling, for someone like me who's not oriented in the science, to see what the human eye is all about. So this is V'chol Drachecha Da'eyu, or seeing God within the natural law of the universe. So I mentioned this idea on my last trip, my recent trip to Chutz Laaretz, because I was talking about Yom Ha'atzma'ut, and I said the Yom Ha'atzma'ut could only make sense in terms of Nisim Nistarim. If you see the daily miracles in the state of Israel, that we continue to exist despite all the enemies around us. So he says the following: Pesach and Shabbos represent two types of Hallel. Pesach symbolizes cosmic disorder, cosmic chaos, abrogation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the laws of nature. So all of Pesach is about, the Eser Makis and the Kriyas Yamsu. Shabbos, on the other hand, represents cosmic order, a lawful world, a predictable world. So Rabbi Moshe, here I would like to add something of my own. When you look in Parshas Bereishis, the first parak of Parshas Bereishis, the name of God appears over and over again. Which name of God?
Elohim.
Elohim is the God of nature. So in the creation story, it's Elohim. Only in the world of man, who comes in Parak Beis, does it mention Yud Kei Vav Kei for the first time. Because Yud Kei Vav Kei could represent disorder. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of his people, he will change and abrogate the laws of nature, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the Midah of Rachamim. But the Midah of Din, which means the way that the, you know, if you drop something off a high point, it's going to fall. That's Midas Adin. You know, there's no room for you know, the natural order doesn't tolerate any exception to this. You know, a person walks off a high roof and he goes too far, he's going to get smashed on the way down. You know, nothing's going to save him. I had a Rebbe who, unfortunately, I mean, smoke cigars, but that's half the problem. He used to inhale cigars. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Rebbeim, favorite people in life. He died at the age of 64 from lung cancer. You know, certain things are in nature. You know, that's Midas Adin. You know, you don't have much choice of it. Okay. Let's see what I can find here. Just give me a minute. Okay. But he has a whole discussion here about Sefer Yechezkel. I don't know. I just want to get to one punchline. Oh. He says Shabbat, in our celebration of the orderliness of creation through which God reveals himself to the intelligent eye, the term Shavua is synonymous with Shabbos. Both refer to a week, right? Shavuot means a full week. Shabbos also sometimes means a full week. Okay, he gives a ride from Shtaris here.
We have it in Israel. We mark as Shabbos as Shavuot. It's talking about weeks. By the way, Shabbos, that means
weeks. Means weeks, right? So Shabbos here means weeks. And he says a week means a period of time that represents creation, which is the orderliness of creation. Okay, he gives a proof from in Parshas Emor when the Torah speaks about Elam Oadi Hashem Shatikru Osam. So it opens up with Sheshes Yomim Tasim Alocha. So the list of Moadim begins with Shabbos. Shabbos is in fact the premier Moed. Its Kedusha transcends that of all other Moadim, even that of Yom Kippur. In other words, I think he's saying, if I understand correctly, that cosmic order and discovering God in cosmic order is the greatest level of discovering God. Okay, he goes on to describe the 40 years in the Midbar. Okay, those are years of Hashgacha Nisim, through Nisim. However, it was never intended to last forever. It was necessary only during that transitional phase, but by the time they would enter into Eretz Yisrael, they would go from Nisim to Tivim, to the natural order. So entering into Eretz Yisrael means the natural order. Then it says that Vavesem es Omer Reishis Ktzircha. The Torah says that when you enter into the land, you will bring the Omer from the beginning of your Katzir. And what that means is that food will no longer be provided miraculously. There's no longer man coming down. You will have to till the ground, to irrigate, to fertilize it. Only then you'll be able to reap the harvest. This will not be a supernatural order, but rather you'll live under a natural order. Nonetheless, you continue to experience God within the Hashgacha Tivis, as you had done during the 40 years in Hashgacha Nisis. So by offering the very beginning of a harvest to the Kohen, we'll demonstrate the awareness that it doesn't belong to you. Right? You think it's yours, but no, this all comes from Nisan. Again, these are Nisan that are built into nature. The Kohen will raise the offering, wave it before Hashem, to express the conviction that it belongs to God. And it's only yours by virtue of divine benevolence and magnanimity. But it has no difference than the miraculous man in the desert. The Omer thus will constitute evidence that you found God in nature, in the orderliness of the cosmos, in the daily agricultural regimen of the farmer. So why does the Torah say Mimochras HaShabbos and not Mimochras HaChag? If the Torah would have said Mimochras HaChag, this would have suggested that Bnei Yisrael will live in Eretz Yisrael as an extension of the Hashgacha Nisus commemorated by the Chag, right? All of the Chag of Pesach is Hashgacha Nisit, right? Because it's all based on the Nisim and the flows of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you might get the impression, the misimpression, that we're entering into the land of Israel, we're bringing the Ketzira, and this is all going to be a continuation of Pesach, of the holiday of Nisan. No, the Torah uses an ambiguous term, Mimochas HaShabbos, deliberately, to indicate that now the Jews will be living by the laws of nature that are celebrated by our observance week in and week out of Shabbos. So why does the Torah use the word Shabbos? Because the Torah is saying we're entering into the land of Israel, and now we're no longer going to be under the Hashgacha Nisus of Chag HaPesach, but rather we're under the Shabbos Hashgacha, which means we're going to reveal God in the laws of nature. We begin by celebrating on the 14th of Nisan with the Korban Pesach. We then proceed to celebrate the 15th with Chag HaMatzos. However, already on the 16th of Nisan, we begin to reorient our perspective away from Hashgacha Nisus towards Hashgacha Divus. So therefore the phrase Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tien is meant to emphasize that we are now to live within the natural world, not the world of Nisim. We call it holiday Chag HaShvuos, the holiday of the natural weeks, because we want to emphasize nature, and the purpose of the Torah is to have us live and reveal God within the natural world. Then he goes on to explain, why is it that on Pesach we bring the Omer from barley, from Seora, and on Shavuos we bring the Shtel Lechem from Chita, from wheat? He says this represents or symbolizes a progression. Barley is considered Michael Behema. He has a whole footnote here about Michael Behema. Man should first find God in that which he shares in common with the animals, his body. The Broch of Asher Yotzar Sodom B'Chochma speaks not of man with superior endowed with superior intelligence as the pinnacle of creation, but rather speaks man as a biological organism, no different than a brutish beast. So we begin the progression away from Nisan celebration of miracles by focusing on the physiology of the human body as a window into awareness of God. Wow, this is wild. Here we're saying we're going to take the omen from a Michael Behema to tell man that you are now about to embark upon a complete transition from Nisus to the physical, natural man. And natural man has something in common with the animals, so therefore we're going to bring the Omer from animal. But after 49 days, 7 natural weeks, we have reinforced that conviction that God can and must be found within the natural physical world. Now we're ready to express our conviction that man is more than an animal, more than a beast. He is a spiritual personality, right? Because he comes to recognize God in this world. I mean, the animals don't recognize God. So the symbol of human intelligence, so the aspect of man in which he transcends the animal nature, is wheat, chita. According to one opinion of Chazal, Yetz Hadas itself was chita. See, here I would add another point. The Gemara says that the mitzvah of matzah, in terms of chinuch for a child, begins when the child is able to digest wheat. Mm-hmm. Because that makes him into enough of a bar das that there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But again, you always see this equation between chita and das. So he's saying that now when we reach this level, which we can recognize God even in nature, that point we are now considered bar das, hence the carbon is going to represent das, and the carbon that represents das comes from the chita. And he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that although Rabbi Meir identifies Eitz HaDas as gefen, Rabbi Yehuda says chita hafi. Nobody seems to say it's an apple. I don't know. I think I have a feeling that's a that comes from a different religion. I don't know. Although the pasuk in Shir Shirim I think does compare the Klal Yisrael to apples. No, this is
different.
Tapua. There, I think the word apple Rashi says refers to an esrog, if I'm not mistaken, because the esrog has a pleasant odor. Well, apples could also have a pleasant odor. Or something. Some apples smell a little sour. You know, sour apples. But to say that the Eitz Hadas was an apple in the way we understand, that's probably not true at all.
Because it's a computer. The Apple computer is.
Okay.
It's a computer.
So maybe the apple is Das because of Apple computers.
Right.
He says, barley on the one hand on Pesach symbolizes man's ability to find God through the natural miracle of human physiology. The wheat on Shavuot symbolizes man's ability to find God through the natural miracle of his intelligence. So again, both the carbon of the Omer and the carbon of Shavuos are both to commemorate finding God through natural miracles, but there are two types of natural miracles. One is looking at the human body. My brother told me that when he first came to YU, he went to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's, and he said that he came from a real yeshivish place, Kfar Hasidim, if you ever heard of it. So that's what he was learning. So when he came to YU, he expected, who knows what, all the, the YU doesn't have a great image necessarily in the Haredi yeshiva world. So who knows what's going to happen. So the first day of Shia, he went out to the bathroom after Shia, and there was a guy from the Shia who came out of the bathroom in a corner. He was saying Asher Yotzeh for like 10 minutes. And he couldn't believe that this was YU, what I'm saying? So in any event, Asher Yotzeh, we say Asher Yotzeh almost perfunctory, like who stops and thinks about the great miracles that we can get rid of our the impurities from our body and so forth and so on. So basically, natural miracle on a level of human physiology that's commemorated by Chag HaPesach and the carbon of Behemah of the barley. Then we get to the wheat of Chag HaShavuos, and that represents Das. That's another level of finding God, and that means to find God through our mind. It's that the very fact that our mind could function, and we have the capacity of cognitive faculty, that itself is a great natural miracle, and that allows us to find God. Hence, the 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos is a progression from Imachas HaShavuos, because again, Shabbos represents natural man and natural miracles, as we understand it. From the day after we celebrate Hanhaga Nisus, we begin immediately to transition to Hanhaga Tivis, and that's called Mimachas HaShabbos, by celebrating the natural harvest, all the way up, culminating in the Mincha Chadosh, the celebrating of the Torah, which teaches us how to use our natural intelligence to find God in the mundane and the ordinary.
So that's how forth from there, because the Stukim would say that in Rosh Hashanah, it's first you must understand the order of how things go before you can understand Nisim.
Right, and, right.
And the,
so you want to justify the Stukim.
It's the other way
around. Right. But the Prushim wanted to change the nature of our celebration of Pesach to understand that Pesach is only meaningful because of Mimachas for the next day,
right,
which is Mimachas HaShavuos, and the Shabbos represents the natural progression.
Backwards.
So what do I want to add to this? I mean, I can't add to my Rebbe, but this is what I would add. If I can borrow the Chumash for a minute, there's a very strange Rashi, quotes a Mechilta, at the end, smack in the middle of Parshas Yisro. Do we have another 10 minutes? If you have to go, you have to go, but I want to leave 2 minutes at the end to discuss what Masechta we want to learn, but here in Parshas Yisro, there's Perek Yutes and there's Perek Chaf. Perek Yutes is basically introduction to Kabbalah Satorah, Atem Tiyu, Mamlechus Kohanim, Agoy Kadosh, etc., etc. And Perek Chaf is the actual Torah, the Aseres HaDibros. So in throughout Perek Yutes, we have the name of Hashem as Yudke Vavke. And all of a sudden there's an abrupt shift, and Vaydaber Elokim is called Dvar Ma'el Lelemar. So Rashi notices this, but he gives us a strange answer. Rashi says, "Vayidaber Elokim, ein Elokim ela Dayan." Now the word Dayan here, as I'm going to try to prove to you, doesn't just mean what we call the judiciary. The word Dayan here means executive, meaning to implement punishments. Lipara, Puranios, means punishment. He says, "V'chenu Omer Elokim lo tekalel." This is not in the Mechilta. Rashi answers the Mechilta to support the premise of the Mechilta that Elokim is a Lashon Dayan, because it says Elokim, really should read it Elohim lo tekalel, right? Because it's Lashon Chol. V'tagumo, if you look at the Targum, it's Dayan. Okay. So now at this point, Rashi is established based on the Mechilta with a proof to support the Mechilta that Elokim is Lashon Dayan. Now Rashi turns himself to the main question here. Why is the Aseres HaDibros being given by Elokim, in contrast to all the introductory words where the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei appears? So Rashi says the following. He creates a Gemara for us, like a Havamina and a Maskana, meaning God added the word or changed the name of his to Elokim, Lafuke. Lafuke from a Havamina. He says the following: "Lefi sheyesh parshios shabbat Torah she'im asa'on." If he fulfills the requirements of the parasha, adam makabel schar v'im lav. But if he doesn't fulfill those parshas, eino makabel leim paronios. He will not be punished. So fulfillment will generate a reward. Non-fulfillment will not generate a punishment. That was a double negative, right?
It's a key.
Yachol.
It's a
kiyum. Yeah, it's a kiyumis, maybe we'd say in Briska language. Like maybe tzitzis or shiluch hakad, you know, there's no chiyu. Even make, you know, I don't have to build a house with a roof. Or mezuzah, maybe. Mezuzah also, I don't have to live in a house. And the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Brachos, I think we discussed this Rambam. The Rambam says, "Yesh mitzvah shedomim l'rishus." He gives the example of mezuzah and makah, because a person can live all his life in an oil, right? And he doesn't need a house, so he's not chayiv in mezuzah. What tzitzis is if you don't wear a beged adalka? Yachol, I might think she'af aseres hadibros ken. Nice, it's a choice. You know, you want to voluntarily fulfill them, fulfill them. And if not, so you won't be punished for them. Talmud Lomar, and therefore the Torah shifted its name, the name of God, Vaydabar Elokim, Dayan Lipara. You'll be punished. So this appella of a Rashi, or all the Mefarshim have trouble with this Rashi. The concept of Parsha Shabbat Torah Mason Adam Makabal Erev Schar could only refer to Mitzvah Saseh. Right, so we gave a few examples. Let's go over them. Right, tzitzis and mezuzah and makeh and shechita maybe might fit into this shiluch hakan. I don't know, whatever mitzvahs you'll come up with. But what's common to all of them is mitzvah say. A mitzvah lo saseh is not a matter of choice. You know, oh, you'll get rewarded. You know, if you don't wear shatnez, you'll get rewarded. But if you do wear shatnez, you won't be punished for it. You can't say that with regard to a lotas. So it's not shaykh to say in my son in lav ainu makabale in paronios. I mean, by definition, now the aseres hadibros is basically laven with maybe let's count how many essays. So maybe a nochi Hashem Elokech. We count that as an essay, or kavidus avicha as an essay. Shabbos is an essay, but the other seven are clearly losa says. So what's going on of it? Is Rashi referring to those three? So imagine if I told you the following. Your father asks you for a cup of tea. You have two options. You get him a cup of tea, you'll be rewarded. You decide not to get him a cup of tea, you tell him go fly a kite. You get it yourself, so you won't be punished for that. Shabbos. If you want to observe the Shabbos, we guarantee you a good piece of reward. But if you decide not to observe the Shabbos, that's okay too. We won't punish you. You want to believe in God? Go ahead, you'll be rewarded for it. You don't want to believe in God? No punishment. I mean, the whole thing makes no sense. I mean, that's why the Mefarshim don't know what this Rashi is about. But perhaps this Rashi would make more sense if we ask the following question. When Hashem meets out punishment, is that punishment reserved for the world to come, or is it a punishment in this world, right? So we have the God of retribution. God's retribution might be metaphysical, you know, belongs to the world to come. Or is retribution in this world? Like, for example, the Mishnah in Peah that we say every morning, right? Eilu Dvarim She'Adam Ochel Perasei B'Olam Hazeh. The Keren Kayemes Olam Haba, right? So basically the Mishnah is telling you Chiddush. Eilu Dvarim. Eilu Dvarim means I have a list. It's a very limited list. But the general list is Schar Mitzvah Bai Alma. That's Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi. I don't remember what Masechet it is. Leka. There's no Schar for Mitzvah in this world. There are a couple of exceptions to the rule where there'll be Schar V'Onish in this world. So Rashi now is saying the following. Lefish Yesh Parshiyos BaTorah. You know, if you talk about whether there'll be Paranios in this world, so no. You know, you're not going to be punished in this world. You'll be punished in the next world. Don't worry. You'll do fine in this world. And I might think that Aseres HaDibros also fit into that category, that you could survive it and you'll have no problems in this world. You won't be punished in this world. No, Hashem says, Dayan li para, Elokim, in this world you'll be punished. And maybe what it means that in this world you'll be punished is that the punishment is built into the crime. You know, if you're not going to be machabed your parents, and your children see the way you treat your parents, then how are they going to treat you when it's time for you to get treated by, you know, with service from your children? So what I'm suggesting is that maybe the name Elokim refers to the Elokim of Bereishis, the Elokim of law, of a set of chukim that tolerate absolutely no deviation. Right, as we said before, it's gonna, you know, gravity says it's gonna fall. So there's a name Elokim which says, you know what? There's a punishment that's built into the very nature of the crime. For example, it says Lo Tinaf. If it's a society of promiscuity, it's gonna ultimately lead to the erosion of the society. For example, Lo Signov. If you steal things, then ultimately that's going to destroy society. We don't have to wait for some sort of metaphysical God that belongs to Yudke Vavte, to the transcendental God that's above nature. There's the Elohim of nature that operates within the framework of law and order. That's where the punishment is going to be. And that's what the Torah is telling us about the Aseres HaDibros. That if you have a society that's predicated on atheism, then that society is not going to last. Even Lo Tirtzach. What was his name, the Russian guy? Dostoevsky, right? Was that his name? Crime and Punishment. And basically what happens is a man commits murder and he suffers from that for the rest of his life. You know, don't think that you can live guilt-lessly. Again, Amalek is a different halach. I don't know. Amalek seems to work on its own mechanism, its own rules and regulations. But for a normal human being, and certainly for a Jew, Lo Tirtzach means don't think you can get away with it. Oh, I'll square with God when I get up to the pearly gates, you know, Liachem Eves. No, that's not how it works. It's built into the Elohim, into the God of nature. So God of nature is Elohim, both in terms of the natural law and in terms of the moral law. So there's a moral law with its own punishments, and there's a natural law. And just like the punishment in natural law, if you inhale your smoke, you follow what I mean, it is built into nature, so too the violation of the moral law is built into nature. Okay. So now, Rabosai.